Leave me, Lord, I am a sinful man. St. Catherine of Siena says that there are more tears shed over answered prayers as over unanswered prayers. We don't often know what to ask for, and sometimes our Lord gives us precisely what we ask for so that we learn to trust in His providence. Fortunately, our Lord did not heed this prayer of Simon Peter, leave me, I'm a sinful man. And at the same time, our Lord doesn't say, it's okay, you're not a sinful man, you're a good guy anyway. Our Lord, in His silence, acknowledges Simon's sinfulness. And nonetheless, because Christ has entered into his life, Simon's sinfulness doesn't have to have the last word. It's important to understand that in the spiritual life, our Lord takes the initiative, but he won't work without our cooperation. Trent is very clear about the necessity of our cooperation with grace in order for it to come to flourishing according to our Lord's plan. An interesting aside is the Greek verb that Luke uses for catching men is not the normal verb for fishing, in which we take a fish and take its life. Rather, it's captured alive. Captured alive. And this is something that the Romans would also use when they would go into exotic lands and capture alive animals in order to bring them back for their zoos and for their games. The whole idea was that we take them without doing them harm. Obviously, they're going to be done harm in the forum or whatever, wherever they were killed. But the idea was that they were taken alive. And Luke uses this. Why? Because the glory of God is man alive. And man is truly alive through the working of grace. And grace has a certain dynamic that is repeated in every life that cooperates with it. And all of the Church Fathers, Thomas Aquinas even, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, John of the Cross, they all discuss this trajectory of grace, which is God's initiative, but only comes to fulfillment with our cooperation. And there are three stages. There are three conversions in the spiritual life. The conversion from sin to grace is the first one. And that's what we see here in Peter's life. This is his first conversion. He's going to have two more later. And we see that in Scripture. Each stage, starting with the purgative, moving on to the illuminative, and then the unitive stage, each has its hallmarks, so its symptoms, so to say, so that we can say exactly where somebody is in the spiritual life, according to the symptomology. In the epistle, Paul speaks to us about the role of suffering in the life of a follower of Christ. One of the symptoms is how I deal with suffering. The others are my moral life and my prayer life. When Teresa of Avila gives us the seven mansions of the spiritual life, they're not in contradiction with the three stages. In fact, they all fit perfectly within. They're just more defined. The first two mansions in Teresa's interior castles correspond to the purgative stage. And in the purgative stage in which Peter enters into, with Christ entering into his life, grace entering into his soul, then has a particular symptomology. Because there isn't a habit of cooperation with grace, we have a very natural approach and reaction to the things that providence serves up, namely suffering. And so we can complain. The Church has raised up many saints who were denied sacraments or who didn't have the practice of receiving communion frequently. And nonetheless, throughout the centuries, many great saints arose. Many of us were denied sacraments for a time. Many still are. Where we are in the spiritual life isn't so much about what happens to us, but how I deal with it. what my response is to it. Am I better because something good has been taken away from me because I've suffered? Am I better? It's certainly possible, but that's just a question that each one of us has to ask for. And now that there's more of a return to the sacraments, am I better? Am I progressing in my spiritual life? In the purgative stage, the spiritual life takes the form of vocal prayer and what's called mental prayer. Mental prayer, according to Teresa of Avila, is the second stage of the 9 degrees of prayer. And if I don't dedicate time to mental prayer every day, I'm not going to grow. I will remain in first grade for the rest of my earthly life. And mental prayer is the gateway form of prayer. And there are wonderful books on it from Catholic tradition, on the practice of Lectio Divina, the practice of mental prayer. And dedication to that daily, then, is going to allow our Lord access to our hearts so that our life of virtue become ever more generous. And so it's a virtuous circle. The deeper my prayer, the more incapable of living virtue. The deeper my prayer, the more incapable of living virtue, the more I'm going to embrace the cross of Christ. So if the purgative stage has as symptoms vocal prayer and the beginnings of mental prayer, which is discursive, intellectual exercise of meditation on the gospel of the day, for example, and there is a certain resistance to suffering, and nonetheless, I'm remaining faithful to Christ in the life of grace because I have frequent recourse to confession. Well, this isn't lost on our Lord, and there's a training going on. In the first mansion, Teresa says that there is a possibility of falling into mortal sin from time to time, but because the person is dedicating now time to mental prayer, this is happening less and less. And in the second mansion, still in the purgative stage, there's almost no falls. And if there is, it's a surprise fall into grave sin. As the person experiences a certain trial of the senses, an active night of the senses, denial of those things that give us pleasure. I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about denial of good things so that I can have a deeper share in Him who is all good. And daily dedication to prayer and embracing my cross, then our Lord starts to prepare us for a second conversion. Peter had his second conversion after the confession of Peter in Matthew 16. He had been with our Lord for 2 years. He had grown in his spiritual life. He gets complacent. He's got stability and grace. He receives this divine illumination. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And nonetheless, he resists the cross. And our Lord calls him Satan. You can imagine if God called you Satan, that would probably be a pretty dark day for you. He goes into a very dark place after this second conversion, and he's got to think about what's going on in his spiritual life. I thought I was doing fine. And then he's going to go through his second conversion. After the second conversion comes more affective prayer and the prayer of quiet. The prayer of simplicity, as Teresa calls it. No falls into mortal sin. And if there are, they're a surprise that come out of nowhere. And there is an active embracing of the cross. It's active. We don't resist it. We're not resigned to it. We embrace it. Peter has his third conversion after his denial, and then that very dark time from the denial till Pentecost. And then at Pentecost, he has his third conversion, and this is the entrance from the illuminative way into the unitive way. This is the beginning of the mystical life. There might be vestiges or certain moments of the mystical life in the end, towards the end of the illuminative stage, the end of the third and the fourth mansions. But the habitual mystical life, that's going to be absolutely and exclusively a divine initiative. We can do nothing to achieve the mystical life. We can do nothing. It's absolutely a divine initiative. God wants to give it to us. And those saints that have achieved it in this life, it's because of their cooperation with grace and their receptivity to that grace. And for the rest of us, well, we've got purgatory. If we make it to purgatory, we'll go through, in a very painful way, all of those mansions and all of the stages to their completion, unto mystical marriage with our Lord. So when our Lord enters into Peter's life, Peter sees himself for the first time for what he is, and he recognizes he's a sinner. And nonetheless, our Lord says, take your eyes off yourself. There is a world of souls that need saving. You will be a fisher of men. You'll capture them alive and give them true life, the life of grace that only comes through the Catholic Church. And so we have this fascinating beginning of a love story between Christ and Peter's soul. And as always, we should ask ourselves, where am I in this? Christ has entered into my life. What am I doing with the grace he gives me? How is my prayer? How is my embracing of the cross? How is my life of virtue? Because those are going to tell me where I'm at. In the unitive way, in the mystical life, the cross is not embraced, it's loved. And it's a source of even material joy. That's not normal. It's not natural, it's supernatural. We're called to a profound conversion, and we should be very docile to the movements of grace so that our Lord's plan comes about in our souls, and each one of us will be just as holy as we want. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.